how can you define light? And what is your definition of light?
Light is that which reveals.
Truth.
And light is produced by contrast. Without contrast, there is no light. If you go into space, there's all kinds of light going through space, but there's no contrast, so you don't see any light. If you look at space, you only see dark. And the reason you only see dark is there's no contrast. You have no awareness of light until there's contrast. And then when the light lands on physical matter, then there's contrast, and that produces light. And light produces awareness and recognition. Does that do the job, or?
Yeah. Well, those are terms I've heard thrown out all the time. So many people use them so differently. I just really wanted your definition.
Yeah, DK says something interesting about space. You know, we look into space and we see pretty much blackness. He says he can look into space and see all kinds of light there. Because he looks beyond, he's able to look beyond what a normal human can look at, you know. He says there's all kinds of light in the darkness that normal human beings cannot see. Yeah.
Is that why, I don't know if I read this in the scriptures or what, but when I think of light, I think of truth, because truth also reveals.
Right. Light reveals, and what it reveals is true, whatever it is. Yeah. So light and truth go together. Matter of fact, as scripture says, in the beginning, man was intelligence or the light of truth, which is true. So in the beginning, we were the light of truth, according to the scripture.
Where does it say that?
I think it's Doctrine and Covenants.
93.
Yeah, I think it's 93, something like that. Somewhere in the Doctrine and Covenants. Yeah, in the beginning, man was a light of truth in the mind of God. And God didn't divide himself, but God multiplied himself. So there's a difference. Most teachers have said God divided himself. But God didn't divide himself, but God multiplied himself. And so, the universe was created from such infinitesimal sizes that just boggles the mind. If you ever read the Immortal Book 4 on the Grand Tour. And when we look at the smallest portions of matter, we see tremendous intelligence there. And the glory of God is intelligence. And Jesus said these words, which is quite fascinating. Consider the lilies of the field. Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, the lilies of the field had more glory within them than Solomon in all of his glory. Now, when he said that to the disciples, they probably looked at the lilies of the field and think, oh, they don't look like they have much glory compared to Solomon. They're just plants. But thousands of years later, we developed microscopes and we're able to look at those lilies and see the glory of God manifest in them. See the intelligence. The glory of God is intelligence. And we see this tremendous intelligence built into one cell of one of those lilies that's beyond all the computer power in the whole world. And it's amazing when you think about it. And then you just go into the molecules. What holds these molecules together? And then to the atoms. Now the atoms, the electrons completely balance off the charge of the electrons, completely balance off the charge of the protons in the middle. And scientists are wondering, how could that be? It doesn't occur to them that some intelligence was behind it. It just doesn't even enter their mind that some intelligence was behind all this. But that's one thing that baffles intelligence or scientists. How is it that an atom was created where it's in perfect balance, where the energy and the charge of the electron exactly equals the charge of the protons? How does that work? And they can't figure it out. It's one of those mysteries. They say, when we figure it out, well, you know, we'll find out that no God was behind anything. It was just part of everything. These scientists are like somebody going to Apple computer and looking at Apple and saying, well, you know, Apple started out as Apple SE and then Mac Plus and Mac SE and then generation 2 and 3 and 4, and now we're up to Mac Air or whatever. And so we're able to observe this evolution. This means that this was created with no intelligence at all, just by trial and error, and Mac evolved by evolution. It just evolved. Now, this is the same approach they use to the evolution of life. They observe how life has evolved from the simple to the complex, and they say, this happened without God. This happened with no divine intelligence. It just happened. We know it's true because we have proof that it happened in steps. Well, we also have proof that Apple happened in steps, but if you stumble across an iPad in the middle of a forest, you're going to say, well, huh, an iPad. We know that evolved in steps, so I guess no intelligence created it. It's just the forest made it somehow. You know, I keep thinking of some of these scientists when they die and find out they're really not dead, that life continues, and there was intelligence behind the creation of everything, they're going to feel pretty stupid, I would think, because it is so obvious. I mean, just like it's obvious, if you stumble across an iPad in the middle of a forest, nobody is going to be thinking, man, this was created by trial and error of the universe, just with no intelligence, put this thing together. Yet one cell in the lily of the field is much more complex than any computer that we have. Just one cell. And what makes that cell duplicate? Boy, wouldn't that be nice to have an iPad or a computer or some gizmo that we like that we could just press a button and it would duplicate like a cell does? Yeah, the cells just duplicate all the time. They keep duplicating. Boy, that's quite a feat when you think about it. We don't have the technology to do that. Plus, the fact that all these things, all life evolved and was created with this tremendous built-in intelligence that's within it, that just makes all the processes work smoothly, and it's just hard to believe, it's just hard to fathom that people cannot accept there's a divine hand at play. But here's the thing, is that creationists all got it wrong. They think that God in the beginning just snapped his fingers. He just snaps his fingers and everything manifests. But God is like us. Man is made in the image of God, and when we create something like computers, we start with a simple computer. We get more complex and more complex until we get a machine that does everything we want it to do. And if we're in the image of God, isn't that what God does? God starts out with a simple form of life. It gets more complex and more complex and more complex until he gets us to the point to where we are almost perfect. And perfection is never achieved. That's why we call it relative perfection. There's no such thing as perfection. If there was, then the whole universe would stop and not go anywhere. If we all achieve perfection, then we wouldn't do anything after that. We would just rest. And pretty soon, after a certain amount of rest, we'd begin to disintegrate and we would have no life. Our whole life would just fall apart. We always need new challenges, so we reach relative perfection. And then in that relative perfection, then we create a new challenge for ourselves.